If you'd open the bulletin to page 10, I want to read a section of the verses from Scripture there. They're actually the beginning verses of chapter 6 of Exodus. It's on page 10 towards the bottom, second paragraph from the bottom where it says, "But the Lord said to Moses," you see where I am? "But the Lord," and when it says L-O-R-D in capitals, that's really where the Hebrew has God's personal name of Yahweh. "But Yahweh said to Moses, 'Now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand, he will send out the Israelites. And with a strong hand, he will drive the Israelites out of his land.' God spoke to Moses and said to him, 'I am Yahweh. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, Yahweh, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land in which they lived as sojourners. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the people of Israel, whom the Egyptians hold as slaves, and I have remembered my covenant, my promise. Say therefore to the people of Israel, I am Yahweh, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will deliver you from slavery to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God, and you shall know that I am Yahweh your God, who has brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will bring you into the land that I swore to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you for a possession. I am Yahweh." I want to tell you about my experience this week with this text. The first thing I did was I copied this section, the section you have there on pages 10 and 11. It's verses from Exodus chapter 5 and chapter 6. I just spent a while just copying it down, just writing it down. And it's an amazing thing to do because it really slows you down. To sit there, and I didn't really have a big plan or anything, I just copied. But it slows you down, and if you get distracted from God's word, well, you gotta, you know, get yourself back having attention if you're gonna keep copying it. And as I was copying it down, I started to notice patterns, because you start writing down similar words, and you start to see things that maybe you don't see when you read it, especially if you just kind of read it quickly. But writing it down slows you down. And one of the things I noticed, one of the things that jumped out at me, was how God says here, tells Moses, "Watch what I'm going to do." This Pharaoh, who is holding on to you, who's like, you know, clenched his fist, he's holding on to you. "Watch what I'm going to do. I'm going to make him take his strong hand and kick you out of Egypt. I'm going to take Pharaoh, who's holding on to you, take his strong hand, and he's going to use that strong hand to let you leave." And then a few verses later, he has said what Pharaoh's going to do, and then God describes how he's doing it, and he says, "I will take my outstretched arm. I will redeem you with my outstretched arm." It's like Pharaoh's got this, you know, strong hand, but God's got this outstretched arm, even more powerful. Pharaoh is clenching. He's trying to hold on to the Israelites, just kind of grab whatever he can. And God is saying, "I'm going to open up new possibilities. I'm going to get you out of this slavery, strong hand." And God has this outstretched arm. It goes from Pharaoh saying, "I will not let you go," to Pharaoh saying, "Get out now." And that verse, that it's Exodus chapter 6, verse 6, when he says, "I will redeem you with an outstretched arm," it's central to the whole passage. I was studying then later, and I saw how somebody kind of broke down this whole section and put it into phrases and kind of laid it out, and you can see how it goes right to verse 6 as central. I will redeem you with an outstretched hand. I will buy you back from slavery. I will free you. It's central to this whole passage, which makes complete sense because it is central to Scripture to know that God will free us, not just from day-to-day kind of slavery, but free us from slavery to sin and death and the devil. It's central to our faith. And as I was thinking about that passage, and Scripture doesn't ever really make this connection, but I think we can make the connection that when God says, I will redeem you with an outstretched arm, you could think about how that's how he did it. God redeemed us, bought us back from slavery to sin with his own outstretched arms on the cross. It's central to this passage. It is central to our faith that God would use his own arms stretched out on the cross to redeem us. That's an incredible message of beauty. But back with my experience, so I'm seeing these connections, but I'm still trying to kind of unpack this. Like, what does the passage all mean? I mean, we can jump to Jesus, but is there something else here that we need to be seeing about how God worked for his people of Israel? And I found some things that other people mentioned, and they pointed out these things. Like, somebody wrote, what we see here is that God sides with the downtrodden. God takes the side of the downtrodden, the Israelites, under the thumb, under the strong hand of Pharaoh. God sides with the downtrodden. We also, another person says, Yahweh, the Lord, was not merely intent on liberating slaves, but on reclaiming worshipers. God wasn't just intent on getting them out of slavery and then saying, okay, have a good day. He was getting them out of slavery to reclaim them as his people, to reclaim them as worshipers, to have a relationship with them. He wasn't just going to come in, get them out of slavery, and move on. This was the beginning, a new beginning to a relationship with his people. Somebody else wrote this. For us to participate in God's Exodus-shaped mission is to challenge both idolatry and injustice, to point to Yahweh as the one true God and that he is the God of the oppressed. I thought that was a very important corrective. To see that this wasn't just a story about Israel knowing the true God. This was also about seeing that God is the God of the oppressed. This wasn't just about making sure that we had a correct speech of faith, but also to see that God cares about justice. God cares about the poor and those who are enslaved. And so God is breaking in for all these kinds of things. And then you look at Jesus and you see what Jesus does. That yes, he forgives sins. And we think a lot about that. It's personal, it's spiritual. But he also heals the sick, going to individuals, helping them in their physical needs. He feeds the hungry. He cares about the economic situation of the day. And he shares meals with outcasts. He breaks the way that society normally works. As part of his restoration of all creation, Jesus comes with this all-encompassing message of God's grace and mercy. So this all impacted me. And I was starting to see that we want to teach and to preach and to speak with one another and speak to the world about this fullness of our faith, not just sort of a individual, I am my forgiveness, I'm going to move on, but to see this fullness of a faith that sees that God breaks into our world to bring about restoration of all creation, and it won't be complete, but he's pointing to the new life when it will be complete. And then that brought me to the most startling experience this week with this text. Here's what I want you to know. I laid out this schedule of our Bible stories, Know the Bible Now. I set out that schedule months ago. So Moses and the plagues has been scheduled for this date for a while. And I did what I normally do as I'm studying a text. I took one of the books from my shelves. I have all these commentaries, books that kind of go verse by verse in the Bible. And I looked at one of them to see what insights it might have. I have two commentaries specifically on Exodus, and I looked at both of them, and I found this one, and I'm just reading along. I'm not necessarily looking for anything specific. I'm just studying. And as I'm studying chapter 5, I come to this quote. And the quote is about where Pharaoh is saying, "Oh, there's so many of you now. All right, there's so many of you Israelites now. What are we going to do?" And the commentary says that Pharaoh saying, "There are now many of you," echoes the old fear of the indigenous people, in this case the Egyptians, who see themselves swamped and outnumbered by newcomers, Israelites. Many modern immigration restrictions stem from this fear. Christians should carefully ponder their attitudes to such laws, looking at Scripture and noting how readily fear leads to hatred and cruelty. I didn't go looking for that quote. I didn't plan this out. God had this plan that this would come together here, in as in a nation we are embroiled in all these conversations about immigration and seeing people suffering, not only in the United States, but around the world, refugees around the world. There's an immigration crisis, and this is what we come to. Let me read it again. Pharaoh's fear that there's too many Israelites echoes the old fear of the indigenous people who see themselves swamped and outnumbered by newcomers. Many modern immigration restrictions stem from this fear. Christians should carefully ponder their attitudes, checking against Scripture, noting how readily fear leads to hatred and cruelty. By the way, this commentary was published in 1973. The fears continue, and we struggle with it. How do we respond to these things? What I want you to see in the Exodus is I want you to see it from the oppressed, the point of view of the oppressed. And the oppressed were the Israelites. The ruling class were the Egyptians. And I think my struggle is that I usually come to it not really thinking about the fact that I'm part of the ruling class. Yes, I am a white American male. I don't really think about that, and I think, well, I'm with the Israelites, and I don't even really realize what it means for them to be crying out to God and waiting for God to intervene. I know that Jesus forgives my sins, but one of my sins is that I often think of that in a very individual way. God forgives me, I'm saved, I have eternal life. But that quote from the commentary and seeing the Exodus from the point of view of immigrants, migrants, refugees, the oppressed, it made me realize how much we need the fullness of our faith. The fullness of seeing that Jesus forgives sins, heals the sick, feeds the hungry, shares meals with outcasts, all about bringing the kingdom of God into our lives. And it's not just for me, and it's not just for you. It's all of creation that needs that fullness. Faith in Jesus transforms our lives. And my prayer is that it would transform our view of the world around us. It transforms our lives by the power of the Holy Spirit to view Scripture from the point of view of the oppressed rather than the ruling class, to say that God sides with the downtrodden, and that God breaks into the brokenness of this world. Through His Word and Sacrament, God breaks into the brokenness of this world. He breaks into our brokenness through His brokenness to say that there one day we will have new life for eternity where there will be no more brokenness. But if He can break into my brokenness through His brokenness, He breaks into the brokenness of all people. Through Word and Sacrament, He sends us out into the broken world to see people as His people, and to bring them that hope of Jesus, that God really does see them. However you feel broken, God sees that. And however the people around you feel oppressed or struggling or lost, God sees them in that. And He breaks into that. And He brings about His grace and mercy into our lives through His outstretched arms that redeem us. May this be our hope, but may we see that that hope is for all people. Amen.